everyone. Welcome back to Mormon Channel Daily. One of the topics that I feel that we talk least about, especially in, you know, in society, is the topic of miscarriages. Miscarriage is so rarely talked about, even though it's far more common than you think. But as common as it might be, it's still an emotional and disheartening experience for couples and for women. It not only comes with physical pain, but emotional as well. And women might feel like, you know, something is wrong with them, or that this is their fault, or take it as a personal failure, when in reality, that's completely untrue. Today, we're going to be talking to Meg, who went through a miscarriage during her first pregnancy, and she's going to be sharing with us her experience, her challenges, and how she was able to find hope after her miscarriage.
Hello, Mormon Channel Daily.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, nice.
So this is... Sorry, all right.
Okay.
Hey, guys, welcome back.
So this is...
Mormon Channel Daily.
1, 2, 3.
Well, he helps us with every step of the way. Your daily dose of...
Inspiration.
Your daily dose of inspiration.
You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily. Hey, Meg.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. You look great.
Oh,
pregnancy
so nice.
Looks great on you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. I feel like it's the glow, but really it's just the extra.
Yeah. No, I don't think
then sweating,
so. You know,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit just about your experience. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been married? And when did you guys start trying to have a baby?
Okay. So we have been married just about 2 years. We'll be 2 years in September. But we got married when I was like 25 and a half. So I was like, okay, we should start having kids probably within the first year, you know,
yeah.
Like thinking about it. My husband was like, eh, but you know, yeah. I strong-armed him.
Yeah.
So we started trying about like a year after we'd been married, and we actually got pregnant really quickly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got pregnant really fast, and that was really fun. It was like really exciting.
Yeah.
So we had been married for a year, started trying, and got pregnant pretty much right away.
And what were your feelings like when you first found out that you were pregnant? Like, what's going through your head?
Holy cow. I remember it was kind of crazy. We were sitting there at Sunday dinner. We were with my family, and my little nephew came up to me, put his hand on my belly, and then walked away. And I was like, well, that was really weird, you
yeah.
know? And I told my husband, and he was like, he's like four. You
yeah.
know, he doesn't know. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe he does. And I just kind of joked about it. And then that night, I couldn't stop thinking about, I was like, maybe I am pregnant.
Yeah.
So weird. Like, maybe he knew. And I woke up the next morning early, like 5 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. And I had bought a bunch of tests off of, you know, just online, cheap tests.
Yeah.
And I took one and it was positive.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, wait a second. So I like snuck into my bedroom and I got dressed because I was like, I'll go to the grocery store and get, you know,
a real one. Yeah.
A real one that, you know, will really tell me if I'm pregnant or not.
Right.
And my husband kind of like groggily, like he woke up and he was like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm going to the grocery store. He was like, what time is it? I was like, it's 5 a.m. Go back to bed. And he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I think I'm pregnant. And he like sat straight up in bed and he was like, what? I was like, I'll be back. So I went to the store and I came back and lo and behold, I was pregnant. And I took about 5 tests.
Oh my goodness.
Every single day after that.
just to make sure. Yeah.
And it was for real. It really had happened.
Wow.
I know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm... assume both of you were so excited, you know?
Oh, we were. We were so excited, but at the same time, we were like, okay, this happened.
Yeah.
We meant for this to happen.
Right.
And now what?
Right.
What's the next step? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of just, it was a whole new ballgame.
Right.
I was like, well, I got to go get some vitamins, I guess.
Yeah. Some prenatals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
do
get
all
some vitamins.
Of that. Yeah. And yeah. So then what happened after that? How far along were you in your pregnancy when you found out? You were pregnant.
So I found out when I was about 5 weeks along.
Okay.
So usually you can find out around 4 weeks if you're like actively thinking about it, but I
yeah.
just wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
So I was about 5 weeks along when I found out. And then we were actually going on a vacation 4 days later. We were going
oh.
to Europe for 2.5 weeks.
Oh.
So I was losing my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so new pregnant. I don't know what that means, you know, traveling abroad, but
right.
I mean, it was fine.
Right.
And I wasn't sick or anything, so that was great.
Yeah.
We came home and had my first appointment, got to see, it was, she was like a little, well, I say she now because I'm pregnant with a girl, but I don't know what the first one was.
Yeah.
It was like a little bean. Aww. And you could see the little heartbeat and we were so excited. And then we started telling our families. I was about eight and a half weeks mm-hmm. along, started telling our families. And I mean, still kept it quiet because you're supposed to, what they say is that you're good after 12 weeks.
Okay.
Once you hit the end of your first trimester is you're in the safe zone.
Okay.
Quote unquote.
Right.
So we just told our families then, just so they all knew that I wasn't just being crazy or not eating certain foods.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, once you hit 12 weeks, that's when you're allowed to kind of tell the masses, tell your friends. So I had hit 12 weeks. We went to another appointment and everything still looked good. The babe was squirming and there was a heartbeat. And I, you know, started telling a few select friends, but I still wanted to keep it a secret since it was our first pregnancy. I was like, okay, we'll just keep it under wraps as long as possible until I'm showing, you
for
know?
Sure.
And so a couple more weeks go by and my 16-week appointment comes up and my husband was really busy at work and he was like, I need to, I'll figure out a way to come to this appointment. And I was like, you know what? From what I know, what I've Googled, because Google was my best friend, I was like, I think we just go in, they take some vitals, basically, listen to the heartbeat, and I go home. I was like, if don't think it's going to be longer than 15 minutes, don't come.
Right.
Stay at work, work it out. So I got to that appointment. So I was just about 16 weeks along, and I was feeling hopeful, you know, nothing, all signs pointed to yes.
Did you feel, okay, I was going to say, did you feel like that anything was wrong or anything like that?
Honestly, if I'm being like completely honest, looking back now, I felt like I knew, but only because now I'm having a totally different feeling with this pregnancy.
Right.
But at the time, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I thought everything was great. I was hungry. I was tired. I was, you know.
Yeah.
So I went into the appointment and they, you know, weighed me and they measured me and blah, blah, blah. And it was actually funny. My doctor was on maternity leave.
Oh.
So she was on maternity leave for 6 weeks. So this was my one appointment that I didn't have her with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with a nurse practitioner and she was lovely. I wish I could remember her name, but she was such a sweetheart. And we went into, you know, the room and she was like, oh, how are you feeling? You're out of the danger zone, quote unquote. This was mm-hmm. This is now my least favorite thing that people say. You're out of the danger zone.
Yeah.
She's like, you're out of it. You should be feeling good. You know, we just bantered for a minute. And she's like, hey, let's listen to the heartbeat. So I laid down and she put the Doppler on my belly and there was nothing. And immediately I just knew because I, at my house, my sister, when I found out I was pregnant, she gave me this little at-home Doppler that I could just
listen.
You know, it was a little rinky-dink thing. I could just listen to it myself. And so every other day I'd listen and know everything was great. So when she put that Doppler on and there was nothing there, my heart sank. I was like, something is wrong. She said, well, sometimes they are flipped. Sometimes they're backwards. Sometimes whatever this early on. And I was like, okay, cool. Like take a deep breath. Maybe things will be fine. So they put me into another room to wait until they could get an ultrasound ready. And I just remember texting my husband because I didn't want to call him because I knew if I called him, I'd cry.
Yeah.
I texted him. I just said, pray for us. I don't think everything's okay. And, you know, poor guy on the other end's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Probably should, hindsight, 2020, I probably should have just called him. But
we
got to the ultrasound room and, you know, they put the little machine on, they put the little goo on, it's really cold. And there was the baby and just nothing. There was no movement. It was heartbreaking, but still the sweet nurse practitioner was like, let's get a bigger ultrasound. Let's get a tech in here. Let's make sure. Let's be positive.
Right.
I was like, okay. So I went back into this other room, just sitting there by myself, you know, just with goo on my belly and just worry in my head. And my poor husband was calling me and texting me. And we go to the bigger room and the tech, you know, started looking as well. And she was trying to do some measurements and figure it out. And the nurse practitioner turned to her and said, so? And she said, nothing. And I just burst into tears. And the poor nurse just grabbed my hand and she just said, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And luckily by that time, my husband was on his way to the hospital, just so we could, you know, be together. And they put me into a room of a doctor who was going to, you know, perform surgery.
Right.
This doctor I had never met. It literally was, when I say a blur, you hear people talk about blurs, and I don't think, like, it doesn't really resonate until you've had that blurry moment, you mm-hmm. know? And I sat in that, you know, his office, this doctor's office, and I just looked out the window, and I was just in a fog. And my husband walked in, and we just kind of sat there and hugged and cried together. And I really don't remember much else about the day. You know, we talked to him and talked about what we were going to do and what the surgery would look like and recovery and all of the potential things that could go wrong. I was freaked out.
Yeah.
And we went home, and my poor husband had to go back to work. Luckily, my mom lives in town, so she was able to come right over. And it was just kind of this whirlwind day. And that night, I kind of had all of my family come over. And I just asked all of the men in my life, I was like, just give me a blessing, you know, bless the soul of this child, bless me, you know, just something just to make me feel better and just to make the surgeries go smoothly and all that stuff. So that was, I don't remember anything about it. I was just a ball bag. I was a mess. But I think it was beautiful. My dad gave it to me. And the next morning we got up early to go, you know, go into surgery.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. I've never been into surgery before, minus my wisdom teeth. So I had no idea what to expect. You had to take all these pills beforehand just so that they could, you know, everything could work smoothly. And
the surgery is to remove the fetus,
Remove the fetus, yes. So with being so far along, it had to be a surgery. So, So for some miscarriages, if it's before the baby is too big, you can usually just take a pill and deal with it on your own at home, which, to be honest, sounds even worse to me.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
But yeah, because I was so far along, I wouldn't have been able to basically deliver the baby at home or whatever. So it had to be done surgically removed. We got there next morning and I got all hooked up. And if my life couldn't have gotten worse, their backup generator was down.
Oh.
And I wasn't able to get surgery that day.
Oh, no.
So I had to sit in the hospital for 6 hours. Waiting to see if I could go into surgery, and I couldn't, which was just the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But then we were able to go back the next day, got it all done. Luckily, my doctor did a really great job, and I had not a lot of complications after, which was really nice. So,
what were your feelings afterwards, you know, after going through the surgery? How are you feeling?
Oh, man. Empty.
Yeah.
In like all aspects. You know, I just, at first, when they initially told me, like, there is no heartbeat, your child has passed, I felt okay. I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset. I was more in shock.
Right.
Then after the surgery, it was kind of more of just an empty feeling. That whole weekend, I just kind of sat on the couch, and I had visitors, and I couldn't even tell you what people said.
Yeah.
Kind things, you know.
Yeah.
Great things, but it was kind of just, I was more of like a shell for a little while.
Right.
And I stayed a shell for a bit. I was kind of just confused. I went through all of the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started getting angry and I was sad and my emotions were like a roller coaster. And come to find out, I was actually experiencing postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had been so far along, my hormones had been so pregnant for so long.
Right.
That I had experienced hair loss and acne and all of these things that you experience after you have a baby, but I didn't have the baby.
Right.
So I was depressed and I was going through this emptiness and I was just upset all the time. And my cute husband was always so supportive, and my family was always so supportive, and I know that everyone was praying for me like crazy, you know, and I think it took time Right. I'm not even going to lie. It wasn't like one day I just woke up and I was like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
It took a long time for me to like get back into it. And I remember I was thinking, okay, if I get pregnant again, that'll heal it. Mm-hmm. So I remember just throwing ourselves back into trying.
Yeah.
And just, I had a, you know, time frame. I was like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get pregnant again. I will be okay if I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And every month that went by that I wasn't, it just hurt. And I don't know why or when it happened, but one day I just kind of let it go. And I just slowly but surely let life get back to normal. Mm-hmm. I stopped forcing things. I stopped expecting things. And little by little, happiness came back in my life just by letting go and kind of realizing that everything was on the Lord's time, not
right.
mine.
Right.
And I am such a, I am an A-type personality. I want my time, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of just let go and let whatever happens, happens. And slowly, like, color came back in my life. You know, the pinks of sunrise and the green of my husband's eyes. It was just like everything started to slowly come back together. And we were still trying, but not so intense.
Right.
You know, we weren't tracking it and I wasn't looking at my apps on my phone and blah, blah, blah. And eventually I got pregnant again. And and we found out a week before my due date with my first baby.
Oh, wow.
I know. So it was wow. really crazy. We were kind of gearing up for this sad week. You know, we had planned a vacation because I was like, we got to get out of town.
Yeah.
We were gearing up for the sad week of like kind of remembrance of the child that we lost. And right before we found out we were going to have another one.
Yeah.
And it was nerve wracking, but it was actually very calming.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be a mess when I found out I was pregnant again, but mm-hmm. it was very much like, okay,
this
is happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening. And it happened on not my time. This happened on the Lord's time. And whatever happens this time will happen.
Right. Were there any like initial fears that you thought like, oh my gosh, like this can happen again? Or did you feel just more secure that it wouldn't?
I maybe it was just a crazy, I don't know why I felt so secure, but I was like, okay, I think this one will be okay.
Yeah.
Like obviously in the back of my mind, I had that fear of losing it so late again,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't crippling. That it wasn't as crippling as I thought it would have been.
Right.
You know, yeah. and which was really nice. And that day, that week of the last time I had miscarried came and went this time around. And it was like a breath of air. You
yeah.
know, it was like, okay,
right.
like we've made it through. To that point. And obviously complications happen at any point,
mm-hmm.
but just, it was just a mental barrier for that day, that week. And it came and went and we kind of just looked at each other and went,
yeah,
she's okay.
Yeah.
you know, like everything will be okay.
Right.
So yeah.
That's awesome. How important was it to have support from other people during that time? Like what role did that play in your life?
Oh, huge. I always like to pretend that I'm a suffer in silence kind of person.
Yeah.
so for the first month, I didn't talk about it. I was kind of just, I was being stubborn.
Yeah.
I was just stubbornly living in my grief. And then I started talking to people. One person would share a story and then the next and then the next. And I started talking and I figured out that I loved talking about it.
Yeah.
It made me feel so much less alone.
Right.
Because, you know, especially with the first one, they say that 12 weeks, you're very likely to miscarry. And then after that 12 weeks, you're it's 1%. Won't happen to you. Doesn't happen to anybody. Come to find out, it actually does happen.
Yeah.
And it happens far more frequently than anybody ever talks about. And yes, it is a very tender topic. But for me, having gone through it, I wish it was more open.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, it was crazy to see all these really beautiful, strong women of all ages come out of the woodwork in my life and just say, hey, you know, I lost a child at this many weeks and this was my experience and this is what helped me, or what can I do for you? Or, you know, just,
yeah,
just getting strength and like having the rock of other beautiful, strong women was just like so nice to know that I wasn't alone.
Right. Oh, why do you think that more women or more people don't talk about this? Why is this such a taboo topic?
You know, I have been trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why it's so danced around.
Right.
I think maybe because it is a loss of a life, and it kind of is, you know, say you go to a funeral, people will deal with that grief in different ways around the person who is grieving. And I feel like it might be the same type of way. Like with a woman that's lost a baby, people will dance around it, or someone won't talk about it. Or you think if you don't talk about it, that it'll go away. And two, as a woman, you feel like your job in the world is to bring babies, you know, like
that's what my body's supposed to do.
That's what my body is supposed to do. That's what it's made for. And, you know, you get pregnant or you can't get pregnant, or you lose a baby, or, you know, anything, any of the complications that might happen. And it does make you feel like less of a woman.
Yeah.
At one point I was like, everyone has always told me I'm going to be a mom. I'm built to be a mother, whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's what I heard my whole life. So when I lost a baby so late, I was like, everything I thought was going to be my life apparently isn't.
Right.
You know, like everything that people have told me about motherhood and yada, yada, yada didn't happen.
Yeah.
It all came crashing down in one appointment, you know? And I just feel like a 12-year-old again.
Right.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I think, well, I had a friend who recently went through something like this, and something that people kept telling her was like, it's God's plan. Ugh. Like, this is God's plan, you know, or God has a plan for you. And when you're going through something like that, like, you just don't say that. Like, yes, God has a plan for you, but also, I don't know, that's hard to tell somebody who's going through something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And in that moment, you almost don't want to hear it. And then maybe later on, you might think back like, okay, I understand now why that happened, or why I had to go through that, or, you know, whatever it is. But please don't tell people that God has a plan for them.
That's just, I mean, yes, it is true.
Yeah.
The Lord definitely has a plan.
Yeah.
And I can say that now, months later,
being
pregnant again, but man alive.
Yeah.
When people were like, oh, the Lord has a plan for you. This is a lesson you need to learn. And I'm like, I know that.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Because
right.
In my mind, I lost a baby.
Yeah.
And like, that's what we're told to do. Multiply and replenish.
Right.
So I tried.
Yeah.
Why is it
What's
working?
Going on?
You know, so it's like, I get that that was a lesson, but that's also something you don't have to tell me.
Right. Right, exactly.
You know, it's like, don't tell me I needed to learn something. Don't tell me that that's all in the plan for me. And definitely, definitely don't say, well, at least you got pregnant.
Oh.
Another thing, not to say to somebody.
Yeah.
Oh.
Definitely.
There are a lot of things.
Yeah.
Not to say, but there's also a lot of things to say. And I think that we also don't talk about things to say to people who have lost, you know?
What did you feel was the most comforting or words of comfort that helped you?
I'm here. I'm listening. What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, you know, people always try to give advice. And I think for someone who is grieving, for me specifically in the moment, I just wanted someone to sit there and say, talk to me. Tell me what you're feeling. Like, tell me your story, or not, or sit in silence with me, or let's go eat food. You know, just having the time. I think it's just like, it's not the service. It's not the conversation. It's more, I am here for you to be in this vulnerable state with you.
Right.
You know, like I'm here and I'm available and my heart is open and I'm feeling for you. And I don't know what you're going through, but I want to be here for you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. And just my last question, sorry, I'm like bombarding you with questions.
Oh, you're fine. Bring them on.
How do you feel that you're, you know, especially living the gospel, and like you said, you're taught to replenish the earth and do all these things, and when it didn't happen, like, how did faith or how did your faith, I guess, play a role in, you know, this obstacle that you had to go through?
Totally. So I'm a very stubborn person, and I've always been very stubborn with my testimony, gaining it, you know, living through it. I feel like I'm always learning and growing in my testimony. And and like I was saying afterwards, I was just a shell, and I was angry, and I was sad, and I was angry. And I just remember going to church during that time and seeing all of these young families and just being mad at the Lord, being mad at my situation. And it was pretty rocking for a while. And, you know, it got to the point where I was like, I just can't be here. I can't do this. Not that I stopped going, but I kind of just removed myself, you know, just emotionally and spiritually. I really was just like, you know what? I'm just going to live my life for a while.
Yeah.
And after a while, like I said, I don't know what happened or why, but eventually there was like my heart just started to like be open and be softened. I remember I had a lot of conversations with my mom just about how I was feeling and, you know, how mad and angry and confused. And she was like, maybe stop trying to push things away and just let things come to you. And I was like, okay, all right, I'll try that.
Yeah.
And I just remember instead of praying and being angry, I just kind of prayed. And slowly but surely, the feeling that I had before I'd ever gotten pregnant, that spirit came back into my life. You know, that my testimony started growing and picking back up just from taking out the anger in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, just letting it go. As silly as that sounds, that was the only thing that started working, because I'm a very stubborn person. So I felt like the more I just let myself relax and the more I eased up on being so stubborn, the more the Lord and light just came back into my world, which then really did strengthen my testimony so much more and made me, I don't know, so much more connected to the Lord and to the world and to, you know, heaven, basically.
Yeah.
Like it opened up all of these new realms once I understood, like everyone says, that the Lord really did have a plan and that there was something bigger than me in that moment happening.
Right.
So.
Awesome. I love it. Great answer.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for letting, you know, for being willing to share your story. And I wish that more women, you know, felt the courage to be able to talk about it and know that they're not the only ones, you know, that so many other women go through this. And if you just talk about it to somebody, you'll find limitless support. So thanks, Meg, for coming in.
Thanks
you guys
for
of course. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can tune in every Monday through Friday for your daily dose of inspiration. And make sure to check out our other videos, our other podcasts, our Mormon messages here on mormonchannel.org.